If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to stephaniemiller.com to find out how.
Ari Berman has tweeted 45 states won't give Kobach all of the voter data he has requested, and 28 are Republican secretaries of state. Yay. Allison Grimes of Kentucky.
This commission is doing nothing more than perpetuating and trying to find evidence for a false claim, a lie, an outright lie that the president continues to reiterate, and Kentucky simply won't be part of it. And as my grandmother used to say, it's about as welcoming as a breeze off an outhouse. The folks across the state, not just Democrats, but Republicans, are realizing that turning over sensitive personal information to the federal government, to the president, right, who has requested this, one, isn't in the state's interest, and two, isn't in individual's interest.
Thank you very much. Breeze off an outhouse. Very good.
Heil Grumpf.
Very good. Mississippi said you can go jump in the Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
And Mississippi is an excellent launching place,
yeah,
from which to jump.
Yes.
Go on. That progressive Mississippi, loving them. Loving them these days. All right. Ari Berman, voting rights expert from The Nation and author of the book, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America, joins us now. Good morning, Ari.
Hey, Stephanie. Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you, too. I've been enjoying you on my good friend Joy Reid's show.
She's great.
Yeah. I mean, such important stuff you're talking about. So you just tweeted that 45 states now are resisting, correct?
Yeah. So there's a few different categories. So basically what happened was the Trump administration and Kris Kobach, the Kansas Secretary of State, who's the vice chair of Trump's Election Integrity, quote-unquote, commission, asked for all of this data from states. And he asked for things that he said were publicly available, but then he asked for all of these pieces of data like Social Security numbers,
thank you,
criminal history, military history, et cetera, that are not.
I was just going to ask you, how is he able to say, Ari, that this is publicly available information? This is your Social Security number, party affiliation, criminal background, military history, on and on and on, right?
So, exactly. So the fact is, it was not, in fact, publicly available information. It was very, very sensitive information.
Mm-hmm.
And the federal government had never compiled this kind of national voter registration database. And so there were some states that just said flat out no, we're not going to give you anything. There were other states that said, we'll give you limited public data, like we'll give you first names and last names and addresses and stuff like that, but we're not going to give you Social Security numbers, we're not going to give you who people voted for, we're not going to give you criminal history, we're not going to give you military history, all these sensitive things. So if you add all of that up, 45 states have refused to give Kobach all of the data he asked for.
Good.
Okay. Yeah, because I know that he was disputing how many states, correct?
Well, of course he's disputing it. I mean, what's he going to say? That five states have not responded and 45 states had said no. It's interesting. I mean, even Kobach couldn't hand over Social Security numbers from Kansas because that's not public information. So even he could not comply with his own request. And, you know, quite frankly, when he sent this letter, you know, I figured a few states would resist. I figured California would resist,
right,
some states where they have very good Democratic secretaries of state. I did not expect Mississippi to tell Kobach to go jump in the Gulf of Mexico. I did not think that Arizona would call this a hastily organized experiment. I did not think that Louisiana would say that the Trump administration is unnecessarily politicizing voting rights. I mean, these are deep red states that support things like voter ID laws, like all of these restrictions on voting, but even this was too much for them.
Well, all right, I mean, the bottom line is we've never had a lunatic conspiracy theorist in the White House. This is all just chasing his stupid conspiracy theory that he won the popular vote, right?
Exactly. This entire commission is predicated on a gigantic lie, which is that millions of people voted illegally. That's the only reason why we have this quote-unquote election integrity commission in the first place. It was very telling that Donald Trump put Kris Kobach in charge of this commission as vice chair because Kobach is one of the only elected officials in the country who's defended Donald Trump's claim that millions of people voted illegally.
Oh,
I mean, even
God.
Mitch McConnell has said, we don't need this commission. We shouldn't spend any money on it. It's unnecessary. So pretty much the only people that want this to happen are Donald Trump, Kris Kobach, and Mike Pence. And
mm-hmm.
none of these guys have a lot of credibility right now.
And, well, I mean, A, it's a distraction from Trump Russia. I mean, B, you tweeted they're going to lie about voter fraud to then put in place policies that suppress the vote.
Mm-hmm.
And
to me, that's the real purpose of this, because the question is, why for so many years have Republicans been lying about voter fraud? The reason why is because if you say it enough, people start to believe it. And then they say, well, of course, if millions of people are voting illegally, we should support voter ID laws. We should support requiring proof of citizenship to register to vote. We should support purging the voting rolls. We should support disenfranchising ex-felons, all of these things that have been done in state after state after state. And Kobuk has really been the leader of these efforts. So, you know, I reported on him recently for the New York Times magazine, and I looked at the impact of his policies. And one of the things Kobuk did, for example, is if you want to register to vote in Kansas, you have to show a passport, a birth certificate, or naturalization papers to prove that you're a U.S. citizen. Well, most people, surprisingly, don't carry those documents around with them.
Right.
So what happened in Kansas is that 1 in 7 new registrants were blocked from being able to register to vote, which is an unbelievably high number of people to be prevented from registering, let alone voting. And this bordered on the absurd. I mean, one person I read about in my article was a 91-year-old World War II vet who actually paid a poll tax in the 1940s and moved back to Kansas. And Kobuk said, well, you didn't show proof of citizenship. We can't tell if you're a U.S. citizen. I mean, this stuff is so unbelievable and unnecessary. And so that's really what they want to do. They want to keep talking about voter fraud, keep lying about voter fraud, to then put in place all of these restrictive policies that suppress votes in advance of the 2018 and the 2020 elections.
Yeah. All right. The other thing, was disturbing is that somebody was saying this, doing this online is also a perfect way to help Russia hack again in 2018 and 2020. Correct?
That's absolutely true. I mean, Michael Chertoff, who was George W. Bush's director of Homeland Security, far from a flaming liberal, had an op-ed in the Washington Post today that said this, that said, how are we going to protect all of this information? One of the things that protects the U.S. system from hacking is its decentralized nature. Now, that is not enough to protect it from hacking, but the fact that, you know, we have 50 different systems in 50 different states makes it harder for hackers to get all of this information. Now, if you just put it all in one place with very little security protocols, that's just an invitation for Russia or someone else to try to hack our elections again. And the same day that these letters were released from Kobuk, the House Appropriations Committee voted to defund the Election Assistance Commission, which is the only federal agency that helps protect states from having their voting machines hacked. So it's very, very transparent what they're doing here. They're lying about voter fraud and they're suppressing the vote at the same time that they're practically inviting another hack from Moscow or elsewhere.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, and by the way, the Voter Fraud Commission may have violated the law by ignoring federal requirements governing requests for information from states. So...
Well,
right.
According to Rick Hasen, who runs electionlawblog.org, Kobuk may have violated four different...
So now we need a commission to investigate the commission that's been formed.
You really have to look at this. Number one, the Hatch Act. Number two, I'm looking at it right now, the Federal Advisory Commission Act. Number three, the Paperwork Reduction Act. Number four, federal privacy laws. He was already sanctioned by a federal court for, quote, deceptive conduct and lack of candor. So you can see why this might not be the guy you want to give information from all 50 states to.
Yeah, you think? All right, this really, you know, it's interesting. You, I'm just reading here in 2015, right, Rolling Stone article, you said the 2013 gutting of the Voting Rights Act would affect the upcoming 2016 presidential election. I mean, obviously Russia is a huge story, but I mean, given how thin this margin was and the fact that she won by 3 million votes, this is one of the biggest underreported stories of this election, isn't it, Crosscheck?
Absolutely. Well, and just...
And Voting Rights Act.
Well, I mean, everything that occurred. So, I mean, since the 2010 election, 22 states have put new restrictions on voting into effect, and 14 of those states had new restrictions on voting in effect for the first time in 2016. And these were very important states like Wisconsin and North Carolina and Virginia. And, I mean, I went to these states. I saw the evidence of people who were turned away from the polls by voter ID laws, or people who weren't able to vote because their polling place had been eliminated, or people who had been purged from the voting rolls. And the statistic that I always keep coming back to was that there were 26 presidential debates during the primaries and the general election, and there wasn't a single question about the gutting of the Voting Rights Act or attack attacks on voting rights. And so, to me, I think that the media just completely missed this story, and a lot of people had trouble voting, and it didn't get any coverage.
Yeah, exactly, Ari. That's what drives me crazy. I mean, not just as a Hillary supporter, but the media not only gave Trump $2 billion of free media, thought this was so great and entertaining for ratings, reported negatively on and on about Hillary in the emails, right? And then the post-election analysis is all about what's wrong with Hillary and not about Russia and cross-check and voting rights. And how can you say that Russian active measures didn't harm her? Of course, that was the point of 1,000 Russian trolls, right? I mean,
well, yeah, and
all
I mean,
of it.
The Russia thing is a lot deeper than we initially realized. I mean, we
right.
now know, according to intelligence agencies, that they accessed voter registration systems or election systems in 21 states.
Right.
We still don't know the full extent of this. We still don't know what they're doing. I'm looking into this right now for a forthcoming article. It could easily happen on a much bigger scale in future elections. This was just the beginning. So while got all of the coverage, to me, the accessing of election systems is far more disturbing and far more of a threat going forward.
Thank you. And for the first time, too, Ari, we just played this clip of Trump, unbelievably, right before the Putin meeting, saying, oh, well, you know, could have been Russia, could have been anybody. We don't really know still. This happens all the time. It's like, no, this combination of factors, Ari, has never happened in America in this past election, correct?
No, it has not happened all the time. We certainly have not had a situation where not only was the leading presidential candidate's emails hacked, but 21 states had their voter registration systems attacked as well. I mean, this is totally unprecedented. And if you talk to election experts, they say the Trump administration isn't doing anything, that Congress is actually defunding the agencies that are supposed to help with this. And, you know, I find it interesting because there's Trump and then there's some people on the left that say, well, the intelligence community is just overstating the threat. They're just lying about it. What would the head of the Department of Homeland Security or the FBI or any of these other agencies have to gain from saying that Russia was trying to hack our elections when the president is calling this fake news? I mean, to me, the intelligence community is putting actually their own jobs on the line by coming forward and saying this while they're actually serving in the Trump administration, because I think they see that nothing is being done and how vulnerable we are heading into the next election.
Well, you know, and Ari, I think, you know, as many people have said, and we're learning from the Wall Street Journal article and others in terms of collusion, Russia would not have known how to weaponize this data politically without American help. And
yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, they're going to be, you know, more sophisticated in future elections. They're going to have a better understanding of where the swing states are. They're going to have a better understanding of which races to target. We just came out of an election in Georgia, the special election with John Ossoff and Karen Handel, that took place entirely on electronic voting machines with no paper trail. Now, I'm not saying anything happened in that election that was fishy. I haven't seen any evidence of that. But if something had occurred, we wouldn't even know about it, because we have no way to verify the results. So I'm far from a conspiracy theorist when it comes to electronic voting machines. I've pushed back on a lot of the conspiracy theories, but I've been talking to lots of election security experts, and they keep telling me our system is dangerously vulnerable. There are 14 states that use electronic voting machines, and places like Philly, Atlanta, Houston, Dallas, they're voting on machines with no paper records, and that just makes me nervous right now, given the climate of hacking that we're in.
Yeah, Ari, you wrote a great and extensive piece in the New York Times, how Kris Kobach plans to remake America through restrictive voting and immigration laws. I mean, I guess the question that I think a lot of our listeners would like to know is, what can we do about all this? Because this is a huge thing. When you look at the numbers, that absolutely would have decided this election, that were thrown off the voter rolls.
Well, I would say the first thing is vote different people in office. I mean, you know, Kris Kobach is an elected official. He's the Kansas Secretary of State. He's now running for governor. So I think the voters in these different states need to pay attention to state races, because while the presidency is obviously extremely important, while Congress is extremely important, all the action really for the last 8 years has been in the states. That's where all the voter suppression efforts have been. So I think we as progressives need to spend a lot more time focusing on Secretary of State races, focusing on state legislative races.
But I can hear people, Ari saying, like, but how do we do that if they're not going to count our votes or we're going to get thrown off the right? That's what I'm saying. Well, I mean, it's like, isn't it a cyclical?
I get that. So, I mean, I would say, first off, a lot of important legal work is going on right now. I mean, the ACLU and others have been quite successful in striking down a lot of these laws. I think what we need is the kind of political organizing and pressure campaigns that we've seen around this Trump Commission, this voter data request. When people start speaking out about this stuff, when people start organizing about this stuff, then politicians feel nervous. I mean, this is what happened, was that the voters in places like Mississippi and Louisiana and Arizona and all of these other states started saying, we don't want our information released to the federal government.
That's right.
And maybe it's a little bit harder to do that with things like voter ID laws that are broadly popular in these kind of places. But I still think what we've been missing is the organizational component, the political organizing. That's what made the civil rights movement so successful.
Yeah.
And that's what we've gotten away from. It can't just be legislative and lawsuits. There has to be people organizing around that as well.
You know, force them to come up with ideas that actually attract voters rather than, you know, what did one judge say, you know, targeting African-American voters with surgical precision, you know, rather than keeping people from voting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'd be nice if we had a party that actually wanted to compete on a fair playing field on ideas.
I also think it's important that in states where there are, you know, Democrats or like-minded Republicans to try to expand voting rights, both to help people there, but also to have an alternative political model that you can export, because that's what Kris Kobach did, is he drafted citizenship laws, he drafted voter ID laws, and then he sold them all across the country. And now, you know, it would be nice, for example, if, like, we did the same thing with automatic voter registration. So the idea that everyone would just be automatically registered to vote.
Yep.
Now the law in Oregon, it's coming to California, which I think is going to be huge. It's being implemented in 9 states right now.
And well, if Trump has his way, we won't count California's votes next time.
I mean, that's only 9 states, but the point is here you have a different kind of model that you can start to export. And it's actually been passed in places like Alaska, which you wouldn't expect, in West Virginia. So there has been some Republican support for this as well. And I think any way we can try to depoliticize voting to me is important,
yep,
while also calling out the people who are trying to suppress votes for what they're doing.
Yep. The book is Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. Ari Berman, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. There he goes, Ari Berman. He's fancy.